I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, some Monday morning quarterbacking of the Academy Awards. We'll be joined by film critic Wesley Morris, who hopefully won't mix as many metaphors as we just did. But first, the Obama administration says it will spend billions to keep struggling homeowners in their homes. The program takes effect March 4th and will allow the two government-backed mortgage giants to refinance loans even when home values have dropped. Joining us now to talk about how the country got to this point and how to solve the housing crisis is someone who's played a key role in the push to expand housing opportunities for Americans of all incomes, Henry Cisneros. He's a former mayor of San Antonio, and he was Secretary of Housing and Urban Development in the Clinton administration. And Cisneros also sat on the board of the nation's largest mortgage lender, Countrywide Financial Corporation. He's now executive chairman of CityView, which works with developers and builders to create more affordable housing. Mr. Secretary, thanks so much for joining us.
Michelle, thank you, and thank you to NPR for giving us the opportunity to probe more in-depth public issues. Do a great job.
Well, thank you. Well, first of all, what do you think the administration got right in its mortgage bailout proposal, and is there anything they got wrong?
Well, I think that what they got right is that they acted in a decisive way. They acted in a way that is a beginning. It's not perfect. There is a lot of nitpicking going on about particular areas that are left out or individuals who didn't overextend themselves and are going to, as taxpayers, have to help others. But the truth of the matter is we all benefit as the economy comes back, and it's hard to imagine the larger economy coming back without the housing sector. This has been a liquidity crisis, a credit crisis, a consumption crisis. It's now an employment crisis, but at its origins, it was a housing crisis. And given that housing is as large as 20% of GDP, when you consider housing construction, housing finance, appliances, transportation of raw materials, materials involved in the construction process, huge impact in the economy, hard to imagine how we get back. So the particular points that deal with mortgage modifications so that we stem the flow of additional people who go into foreclosure is very, very important. If you can imagine we're trying to drain the barrel of housing inventory from the bottom and refilling it with housing going into foreclosure from the top to the tune of 2 or 3 or 4 or even 5 million more over the next several years. Whatever can be done to keep people in their homes, to keep those houses becoming vacant in neighborhoods, to keep them from being vandalized and covered with graffiti and declining other people's values and destroying bank balance sheets, and confidence, as we read every month of more foreclosures, is a good thing. So I think the administration is absolutely on the right track with the measures that they proposed.
Well, talk a little bit more, if you would, about this whole question of who actually deserves the help, because as you know, there's been a very intense debate over what is owed to people who bought houses and took out mortgages that they really could not afford. Some people say nothing. Now, some people say that many people were taken advantage of, that they were pushed into these arrangements, people without a lot of financial sophistication, so they do deserve the help. And some people say it doesn't matter. The cost to communities is too great, whether you made good decisions or not. What's your take on this question?
You put me in the latter category, which is to say we all are going to suffer as a country if we cannot get this economy restarted, if the housing sector continues to lag behind. So let us sort of put the origins aside and focus on what can be done at this point. And the strategy of modifying mortgages, the strategy of allowing people to refinance, even though their homes are, quote, underwater, that is to say the value of the house is less than what they owe on the loan, the administration has come up with a way that people who are not that far underwater can actually refinance and generate cash, which is important to the economy. So I'm in the category of folks who say we're all going to benefit. Let's do the things that stem the flow of foreclosures, because every time there's a foreclosure, somebody else besides the people who are going to be out of their home is impacted. Their neighbors, their community, their school district where taxes are not going to be paid, the quality of life nearby. And it has multiple implications through the job system and everything else.
Well, but along the lines of those who don't know their history are doomed to repeat it, as a Secretary of Housing and Urban Development and later as a private business person, you were among those pushing hard to expand homeownership opportunities to people who had not traditionally been able to take advantage of those opportunities. When you look back on it, did you push too hard? Did you do something wrong?
No, I don't think so. Let me just break it into two pieces. The first piece is what I did as Secretary of HUD from 1993 to 1997. And about the second year into my tenure, we discovered concluded that the trajectory of growth for the economy, which ended up being, on President Clinton's watch, the longest and strongest expansion in American history, was going to create the opportunity to move the home ownership rate in this country forward. Now, home ownership is important to Americans because it is one of the three vehicles by which we move people to the middle class, either higher education or minimum wage and job strategies or home ownership. Those are the three well-documented post-war strategies for building the American middle class. And we had the opportunity to really do some powerful things, especially for minorities. The home ownership rate eventually got to 69%. From about 62% when we started. Minority home ownership rate went from 42 to 49%. So you can see how far off, 20 points off the national average, and 26% below the white home ownership rate were minorities. Now, did we push too hard? I don't think so. I don't think anything we did or anything that resulted from what we did is the problem. Later, that push for home ownership was hijacked, in my opinion, by a whole series of people who came to the business, unscrupulous brokers, ill-trained and ill-prepared, with retail products with no documents and stated income only, the so-called liar loans.
Was Countrywide Financial, on whose board you served, one of the people who hijacked the process? It was once, of course, the country's largest mortgage lender.
Yeah,
has later been taken over by Bank of America. Were they one of the people who hijacked the process with unscrupulous lending practices?
I was going to break my response into two pieces, and the second piece is the period that I served on the Countrywide board. When I went on the Countrywide board, it was the largest mortgage provider in the country, largest mortgage provider to minorities, really developed the techniques for making mortgages available to people. Later, for competitive reasons, and I must say I was not as aware perhaps as I should have been, they ventured into the subprime in order to keep market share. I think that was, if you look at the downfall of Countrywide, it probably was the decision to go into subprime in order to compete with others, the AmeriQuests and Quicken Loans and others.
Weren't they a market maker? If they were the largest lender, weren't they a market maker?
Well, they were striving to increase market share. They had 15% of the market, then 17% of the market, then 20% of the market, and as is the American system, they were pressing hard to increase market share, and the only way the executives concluded that they could get there was to participate in the subprime in a way that they had never done so before.
So,
to answer your question directly, yes, I think unfortunately there were a lot of folks who took a good idea and pressed it too hard. I described the brokers and the retail folks. There was also Wall Street that repackaged the loans. There was also the rating agencies that misrated the loans. There was also Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac that went off mission and got into derivatives and so forth. There was also a world awash in capital that was asking for this most expensive and therefore riskiest paper. There was the government that was not playing its regulatory role. So there's plenty of fingers that could be pointed around.
How do we avoid getting back to this place? As a person who, on the one hand, your career, I would think that part of what you think your career stands for is expanding opportunity for people, many of whom will now be worse off than they were before. Their credit's damaged. They've lost homes. They've undergone the trauma of losing homes that probably meant something to them. So how do we avoid getting back to this place again? What should happen in the future that's different?
Okay. First of all, it's certainly true that this is too high a price to pay to increase home ownership in the country, as important as it is. Secondly, however, let us remember that home ownership is important, and one of the casualties of this whole experience should not be America's quest for home ownership, because it is the vehicle by which we move people to the middle class and close some of the gap in opportunity and wealth and net worth that people have. How do we keep from going there again? A number of things have to be done. One, licensing for brokers, outlaw some of the more predatory and abusive products and put higher standards on lending. outlaw some of the packaging mechanisms, the distribution mechanisms, including the restructuring of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, come down on the rating agencies that did not play their role. But on the whole, and those things need to be done, but on the whole, let us not throw home ownership and the dreams of home ownership for the future out the window, because that is the way we will create a more equal American society, where people have access to wealth. Most Americans, the sum total of their net worth is the equity that they have in their home.
We only have about a minute and a half left. So what are you going to do differently at this company that you didn't do in your previous private businesses?
My company today, Cityview, amasses institutional capital in order to generate homes for working families. That's what we do. Workforce housing for firemen, policemen, teachers, nurses, the middle class. And we have about 45 developments across the country, and we're just very careful. We do not have a big foreclosure problem, because the builders that we work with, the lenders that we work with, apply common sense. I think that's, to answer your question directly, it's common sense lending standards. When we got to the point where people were offering no document loans and stated income only loans and no down payment loans and option arms that pay only interest and et cetera, we violated basic rules of common sense lending. And that's got everybody in trouble. It got the borrower in trouble. It got the lenders and banks in trouble. It got the country in trouble.
And I'm going to be in trouble if I don't let you go. Thank you, Mr. Cisneros. Henry Cisneros is the former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. He served under President Clinton. He's now Executive Chairman of Cityview, and he was kind enough to join us from NPR West. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Secretary.
Thank you, Michelle.